Critics of the mission in Libya are following the money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will speak tonight about the situation in Libya, and he's expected to answer congressional critics who want more consultation and communication about how much the no-fly zone is costing U.S. taxpayers. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us live now to talk about all this. Hi, John.
Hey, Jeremy.
So is the money likely to be a big focus of tonight's speech by the president?
Yeah, absolutely. The president's going to have to answer critics who wonder what has the U.S. gotten itself into. Members of Congress who are back in session today say that, hey, we've been making real tough choices to trim spending, but you, Mr. President, without getting our approval, have made what seems like an open-ended commitment to spend more money on yet a third military front. Hmm. Here's Republican Senator Richard Lugar on Meet the Press yesterday.
But who knows how long this goes on? And furthermore, who has really budgeted for Libya at all?
And John, how might the president answer those kinds of questions?
Well, he'll say that military action is going quickly, successfully, relatively cheaply. But then there's the question of what sort of goal he has in mind in a post-Qaddafi Libya. Budget analyst Gordon Adams at American University says there's going to have to be some sort of financial help for the new government.
I would expect then some more normal kind of assistance package to come forward, but I don't see it as a stabilization, reconstruction, long-term occupation kind of exercise. That would be a lot more expensive.
And the president will have to answer what will be the cost to the U.S. if other nations in the Middle East, Yemen, Jordan, Syria, also require Western help to protect civilian protesters from their governments.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks, John.
My pleasure.
Well, we continue our coverage of the economic effects of the unrest in the Arab world now with a story about Libyan oil. Rebels have regained control of two key oil cities, and they claim they have signed a contract to sell the oil. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has that story.
Backed by the Allies' air power, the rebels' ambitions are growing fast. They say they've sealed a deal with an energy-rich Gulf state. Qatar has apparently agreed to take all the oil the rebels can produce. That is said to be just over 100,000 barrels a day and could be increased. Julian Lee is with the Center for Global Energy Studies. He says this may help the rebels, but it won't make a big difference to the world oil market.
Getting back to anything like Libya's capacity production of about 1.6 million barrels a day is probably a long, long way in the future.
He says most foreign oil workers, including the key technical staff required to keep the oil fields running, have fled the country, and they seem unlikely to return for some time to come. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Asian markets are lower this morning. European markets slightly higher at this hour. News this morning that the gourmet fruit seller Harry and David is filing for bankruptcy. The 77-year-old Oregon company has had a hard time luring customers to its expensive fruit gift baskets because of the recession. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow jumped 50 points to close at 12,220.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Well, here in Los Angeles, it's now a challenge to find gas that's cheaper than $4 a gallon. In other parts of the country, when you want cheaper fuel, you can simply cross state lines. Consider the border of Illinois and Missouri. Illinois has some of the most expensive gas in the country. Missouri, some of the cheapest. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Adam Allington reports, Missouri has a reputation for undercutting its neighbors.
One of the cardinal rules about interstate travel through the Midwest, gas up before you hit Illinois. Illinois levies a hefty 42 cents per gallon tax on gasoline, among the highest gas taxes in the country. Compare that with Missouri, which only charges 17 cents per gallon, and you're bound to see a lot of Illinois license plates in St. Louis gas stations.
We almost never buy gas in Illinois.
Cameron Holloway lives in Illinois and drives across the Mississippi River every day to work in St. Louis. During the last oil crisis in 2008, he actually ran out of gas trying to make it to Missouri.
I always know that in Illinois it's 20 cents or so more than it is in Missouri, and so I'm always going to fill up over here.
And it's not just gasoline where Missouri undercuts its neighbor. The state also has lower taxes on beer, liquor, cigarettes, even sales tax.
This is a fall on the sword issue when it comes to state fuel taxes, state tobacco taxes.
Ron Leone heads a lobbying group for Missouri's gas stations and convenience stores. He says the lower taxes attract tens of thousands of cross-border shoppers every day.
We will do everything within our power to keep them low, to keep them reasonable.
But critics point out that cutting taxes on gas or cigarettes has never actually increased state revenues or paid for any new roads or bridges. Ralph Martiri is the director of an Illinois think tank called the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability.
All the data show that supply-side theory of public finance, it just doesn't work. So anyone who's counting on that coming through, people buying substantially more gasoline because the taxes are lower, are, I think the technical fiscal term is goofy.
Martiri says a race to the bottom in taxes may not be a successful long-term strategy. He points to studies in Illinois that show every tax dollar spent on infrastructure has actually created $1.50 in economic activity. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, it seems the pending takeover of T-Mobile by rival AT&T hasn't yet stopped T-Mobile from running ads making fun of AT&T's service. This ad is still running.
Look, sometimes you just got to pay more to be slower. Makes sense if you don't think about it.
And I think somebody in T-Mobile ad sales just got put on AT&T's list of redundant jobs that can be eliminated when the merger goes through. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Middle East is exploding, as you know, loudly and in real life, virtually too.
A lot of people were mobilized by the fact that they've been seeing what's going on Facebook. We became 50 to 200 in no time. In less than an hour, we became 30,000 people.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Revolution 2.0, and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.